we've been without a power-sharing government for a year after, you know, the coalition is led by the DUP, and Sinn Féin actually went over the edge. Now, the five main parties have been involved in talks, but I actually feel I could have read this last year. You know what I mean? I could have introduced Kelly Armstrong, who's our next speaker from the Alliance Party, 6 months ago, a year ago. Kelly, good morning.
Good morning, Frank. Good morning.
Say something to the audience that will ensure that they don't abandon the radio now, because we are getting pretty fed up with politicians and their inability to deliver. These talks, any progress?
Well, Frank, all I can say is I'm as frustrated as you are. As you've said yourself, the DUP and Sinn Féin have said that they have significant gaps that they still need to discuss and fill. And to be honest, that is what's holding us up in Northern Ireland. It was recognised at the roundtable discussion that there are three other parties that are potential partners within the executive. We have largely been outside the door, although our contribution as Alliance was noted yesterday that we have been providing constructive opportunities and options to help those parties to come out of their corners, to go into negotiation. So all I can say to the public is I recognise that time is running out. We all know that our health services, our education services, our roads are falling apart, for goodness sake. We are running out of time. There are a few days until the next roundtable, which is going to be on Thursday. We're hoping that DUP and Sinn Féin can come to some sort of agreement, but theirs isn't the only problems. You know, there's the rest of us that need to be round the tables. We have solutions to offer. We also have issues that we need to have addressed, because in addressing our issues, it means then we will have a sustainable government going forward. We don't want to rush this process. Please don't get me wrong on that. We don't want to rush it, because we don't want to get into the situation where we go back for going back's sake. We want to go back to a sustainable government. Heaven forbid we would get this up and running and it would fall apart again in 9 months' time. So it's important that we get the processes correct. And if we do that, we can get our government back again. And we need this systematic change, something like the change in the petition of concern. While DUP and Sinn Féin still have their big key issues, we still need to be positive. We still need to be hopeful about this. Time's running out. It's more important for the people of Northern Ireland that we have a good working government than just a government.
Yeah, Kelly, there's no doubting your eloquence and your ability to explain the state of play. But Groundhog Day was recently, and this sounds like Groundhog Day politically.
Yes, you're right, Frank. On yesterday when I was sitting in those talks, to be honest, it could have been the round table that we had last June. It is extremely frustrating. The two governments are sitting there watching this going on, and I look at them and sort of go, come on, guys, we need a movement forward. I would love an independent facilitator to go in there to bang a few heads together, because I think at this stage, to help people to move forward, that is what we need. That's not coming to the table, unfortunately, and so we are going round in these circles. But I'm hoping it stops soon, because we don't have the time.
It stopping soon might also involve direct rule.
Well, I'm a devolutionist, so I believe that the Northern Ireland government is the best to understand what Northern Ireland needs. Direct rule is not the wonderful thing that some people think it is. A Northern Ireland government can do things like mitigate against bedroom tax. It can also consider what's the best priorities to spend our own money on. We are the best people to do that. Going to direct rule might seem to solve problems, but it's not going to. You know, you can almost see the Secretary of State going, oh, please get this sorted out, because otherwise I'm going to have to rule this place. You know, it's not for someone else to do it for us. Why would we want that to happen? We need our own government back, and the DUP and Sinn Féin have the key to unlocking this. We're going to keep on trying to help them and keep on trying to push forward and be progressive, but they need to start to work together and negotiate as opposed to talk at each other.
Okay, Kelly Armstrong from the Alliance Party, thanks for joining us this morning. Thank you.
Thank you.
It's the Alliance perspective on it. Let me speak to Robin Swan, leader of the Ulster Unionist. Robin Swan, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
Kelly Armstrong making a point there about Sinn Féin and the DUP, and they've got their big issues that they can't resolve. And, you know, if you do put together the mandate from the SDLP, the Alliance Party and the Ulster Unionist Party, it is a significant representation when you batch it all together. But at the end of the day, it's what Sinn Féin wants and what the DUP wants that's going to get us across the line or not.
And I think, Frank, that's the problem. You know, it's what the DUP wants, it's what Sinn Féin wants. they've completely forgotten what the people want. You know, they did get two large mandates, I'm not denying that, but at this minute in time, I'm dealing with hospital waiting lists, I'm dealing with housing issues, I'm dealing with social welfare issues. I think actually what the people want now is a government working for them and an executive back up and running.
But Sinn Féin clearly believe that they are delivering or attempting to deliver what their mandate has asked them to deliver, what their electorate has asked them to deliver, and the DUP believe that they're protecting what their electorate has asked them to deliver through their mandate.
And in the meantime, everybody else is suffering, Frank, and I think that's the message that the two parties need to get. You know, they're fighting to protect their what they perceive to be their mandates and their party positions. And I think they're actually forgetting about the greater good, and that's what I get into politics for, was actually to deliver for the people. I know it sounds cliched, but that's the reality of it. And while I watch these two parties and the standoff they have over issues that they claim are important to them and are important to them and part of their electorate, it's holding back so many more of us. And it's holding back, I think, Northern Ireland, and the frustration that has now been manifested between ourselves, the SDLP and the Alliance Party, and the general public. I think the two big parties should be now getting the message that we need our government and our executive back up and running in Northern Ireland to make the hard decisions that need to be taken.
If you were the leader of the largest unionist party, would you accept a standalone Irish Language Act?
No, and Frank, we're going back into, you know, the detail of this. What we've said,
the detail of it's pretty important. That's what's holding us up.
Well, what we've said is this: you know, we see no need for an Irish Language Act at this moment in time. The Belfast Good Friday Agreement built in organisations like Fáil na Gaeilge, the Ulster Scots Agency, put in protections for an Irish language medium in schools. And those have flourished and have worked for Irish speakers, you know, over the past 20 years. The reason that Fáil na Gaeilge and the Ulster Scots Agency was created 20 years ago was to take the issues of culture and language out of the hands of politicians and away from the hands of politicians, because we knew then how divisive it would be. And unfortunately, you know, that has proven to where we are now. So, look, let's...
Yeah, but Robin Swan, you don't sound very different from any DUP politician that I would have on talking about the Irish Language Act. And if I got someone on from the SDLP, they wouldn't sound very different from a Sinn Féin representative on the Irish Language Act. So that seems to be one of the absolute log jams on this issue.
And Frank, you know, we're being told it's a log jam. No, we haven't been part of these talks or whatever this process is now called since June. So we have no idea where the DUP and Sinn Féin are on these issues. And I think that's crucial. You know, the Alliance Party have said, you know, they're willing to help, they're willing to go on. No, all the political parties in Northern Ireland want to get this logjam resolved. But at this moment in time, we don't know the detail of the logjam. This is a two-party process. Now, there's more in the Northern Ireland Assembly, there's more parties and more MLAs than just the DUP and Sinn Féin. So the standoff that they're having at this moment in time is affecting everyone. And as you pointed out earlier, the three parties together and the independents, you know, have a mandate there that's not been represented and not been listened to at the moment. And that's the problem. When we were able to create, you know, the first step towards normality in Northern Ireland back in 98 in regards to the Belfast Agreement, that was everybody around the table. That was everybody who wanted to make Northern Ireland a positive place to live, a prosperous place to live, actually doing their part in rolling up their sleeves and getting involved. At this moment in time, the two big parties have everyone else logged out. And I'm not even sure, you know, sitting at the table yesterday, I'm not even sure how involved the two governments are.
We're not too far away from, I was going to say, a deadline. It's not a deadline, of course. It's a milestone. It's the 8th of February. It's the day that the budget needs clarity. Milestone, deadline, call it whatever the Secretary of State calls it. How important is the 8th of February?
I'm not sure. And that's me being completely honest with you. You know, we've had talk of landing paths, of runways, of milestones. Deadlines have come and gone. I think when we see the Secretary of State statement on the 8th of February, if she goes as far as actually introducing a budget, I think will be a strong signal to the two large parties that this Secretary of State is moving on. If she doesn't do that on the 8th of February, I'm not sure what other sticks she has left to apply to the two large parties. Because if, you know, if more deadlines or milestones or runways come and go without any hard and fast action, I don't know how you incentivise, how you pressure the two large parties actually to do their deal.
Well, I've spoken to two politicians this morning. I don't think we're any further forward than we would have been if we'd had this conversation 6 months ago. And I don't think people will be, on a sunny morning like this morning, uplifted by what they're hearing. But you're both talking reality, and I suppose that's all you can deliver. Robin Swan, thanks for speaking to us this morning. Thank you. Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you. Gosh, we do go round and round in circles, don't we? This is the Frank Mitchell phone-in. How's the form with you? Do let us know. 90 333 105.